Today on Real Life Radio.
When the Bible is under attack, when Jesus is under attack, does the Bible fold up and blow away? No. Does Jesus run away? No. Does the church implode? No. When God the Holy Spirit is at work, there is a resiliency that comes up against the forces of darkness and the forces of evil.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled People God Can Use, Part 1. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that in spite of our shortcomings, God wants people he can use. You see, many Christians believe that the world is too big and too far gone for us to make any sort of difference. Many also think that God couldn't possibly use them, but nothing could be further from the truth. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that nowadays there's almost a hostile opposition against the Bible. But you know, part of being a Christian is to listen to the Lord's voice and to make ourselves available to Him no matter what the world is telling us to do. Now in his message called People God Can Use, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning, Father, we pray that you would work it in, Lord God, to us like, Father, you would rub salt, Lord, into meat as in the days of old to preserve it and to cleanse it and to make it right. We pray, Lord God, that your word, we would see the effects, Lord, as we get into it and as we live it out in our lives. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, let's grab our Bibles then and turn to Luke chapter 6 this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and the ushers will give you a Bible this morning. It's important that you follow along with us. Luke chapter 6. And we are in a study entitled this morning, The People God Can Use. The People God Can Use. And so as you're getting ready for this message, we'll go as far as we can this morning. It is a large portion of Scripture, but it is extremely important. And for many reasons, but perhaps maybe this is the most important one for us to hear as we get started. Whenever we have a statement or question or it's put forth to us, who or what are the kind of people that God can use? We immediately, if you're anything like me, we immediately excuse ourselves from being in the ranks of those who can be used by God. We've got 1,000 reasons why each of us cannot be used by God. And all of those reasons, let me agree with you, for our lives together, all of those reasons are probably pretty good. We can't do this, we can't do the other, or we've never done this, or we've never done that. But it doesn't take long in reading the Bible where you come to where God does not accept our excuses. And I'm not saying that in a bad way or a heavy way. It's not that he says, I don't accept that excuse and, you know, boo on you, you know. He says, I'm not going to accept that excuse, Jack, that you're offering up to me because, you see, I fully plan and I intend to do something about that. I will take, Jack, all of your weaknesses, and I'm going to use you anyway. And that's true for your life. It would be wrong for you to walk around in your Christianity and to look at people who you deem to be those that are being used by God. Oh, look, there's a woman being used by God, or there's a man being used by God. It would be wrong for you to think that they have somehow achieved to some status with God, that they have in some way earned God's usage. That's not the way it works. This is something that we have to unlearn as Christians. That God takes, in fact, turn in your Bibles before we get going into this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It's a great introduction to where we're going in these studies before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul the Apostle, who was an extreme achiever, by the way, everything that Paul accomplished, he threw it away for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, that is, not many wise have been called, not many mighty, not many noble, But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things in this world to put to shame those things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, that the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to pass or to bring to nothing, those things that are esteemed or looked at to be something. The reason why verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in God's presence. As we look to this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus now calling out of the group of disciples. He calls 12 that become apostles. Did they go to apostle training classes? Did they take a correspondence course? Or did they somehow have some special insight? Who are these guys? And how is it that they got selected to be apostles? If we were back then in the crowd of disciples, would we have been picked? Would 12 of us have been picked as apostles? That answer is solely in the sovereign hand of God Almighty. In fact, Jesus, we shall see in our study, finds the answer as to who shall the 12 be while he's in prayer to his Father in heaven. And so this morning, I want you to be encouraged as we look to the scripture that's before us. Verse 12, chapter 6, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer unto God. And when it was day, he, Jesus, called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Verse 14, "Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called the Zealot or Zealotes, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Verse 17, "And he came down with them and stood on a level plain or a smooth spot with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Strong words. It begins with an incredible season of prayer where Jesus spends all night before God. Then there is the calling out of the apostles from the vast group of disciples. And then there's the blessedness of following God. And we're going to learn about that probably in the next couple of weeks. The blessedness of knowing him and how God works his character into your life. God does that. And then there's the warning against those who reject. By no means is Jesus in the negative saying that if you're rich, you can't get saved. That if you're full right now, or you know, that there's no need. He's going to be speaking to these things on a very, very high level. And that high level is a spiritual level. He's not talking about material things. But before we ever get to that, we want to learn a few things this morning. And who are the people? And can I be the person that God uses? Because we have the list of these names, and then we have the blessedness of following Christ, and then we have the curses that we impose upon ourselves by not following him. My friend, this morning there are invitations for you to follow all kinds of religious leaders. They're growing, it seems, by the month around the world. There is all kinds of New Age messiahs being born. There are people being bowed down to, and people being exalted, and people with high lineage and mysterious backgrounds that are being heralded as mankind's savior. And most of these are taking place in third world countries where there's strange demonic manifestations and events that are leading people astray. Here we have the Bible, and Jesus gives one of the most pronounced and clear and often warned about teachings in the Bible about the blessedness of God and about the dangers of not following God. But it all comes together when Jesus begins to pray. And I know that you are Bible students, and I'm going to want you to pay close attention. Look at verses 12 to 16 with me this morning. And who are the people that God can use? Well, the first thing that we realize regarding the people that God uses is that, number one, is this: the people that Jesus calls to come. You cannot be used by God unless Jesus is calling you to come and follow him. That's what we see here. Notice this. Jesus is announcing to the crowd for the apostles. They don't even know they're apostles yet. They're in the crowd. He's going to call upon them to come out from the crowd of disciples. Apparently, you are first a disciple, and then God graduates you to other things. And that's normal. A disciple is simply to be a follower of Jesus, a student of his, one that actually listens to or sits at the feet of the master teaching. That's Jesus. He teaches you the Word of God, the Bible, and you're listening to him and you follow him. You are a disciple if you are a student of Jesus. But then from that moment, the Lord will take his disciples and grow them up. And in this case, Jesus is bringing about the birth of a church. But the people that Jesus calls are those to whom God can use. So the question is, for you and I, is God calling me? Is Jesus calling me? Am I being curious at all? Am I interested in Jesus being my Messiah? Am I interested in following Jesus Christ? You can never be one whom God uses, and I'm saying who God uses, unless Jesus calls you. How is that true? Look at verse 12. Jesus simply responds to his Father's voice. This is very fun. It's very beautiful, and I hope we get something out of this. It says in verse 12, "Now it came to pass in those days." Can you mark that, church? In those days. What came to pass in those days? And what's with those days? It's a very important statement. As you've been going through this study, we have been learning that every time Jesus opens his mouth and speaks, teaches, does a miracle, who is there to oppose him? Remember? We know by now. The scribes and the Pharisees. The professional religionist will always attack a work of God because it threatens their domain. It threatens their territory. It threatens their earthly or human power. And now Jesus is moving with dynamic. He's moving with the anointing of the Spirit of God, and God is flowing through him, and the kingdom is being exposed to all those who will listen and those who will receive. Jesus is growing up a church. But the religious scribes and Pharisees are fighting him. And remember, in our last study together, they now sought opportunity as to how they might kill him. That's why it says, "Now it came to pass in those days." At the height of persecution thus far, Jesus does something. Church, listen. In those days, when life becomes tough and people are attacking your Christianity, when there's all kinds of stuff out there that should be considered as ridiculous, people are adhering to. Example, the Da Vinci Code movie. Oh, boy, people are coming out. Oh, I didn't know this about Jesus. It's a movie made up by a nutcase. It's not real. But people who don't want to receive Christ or believe in Christ will believe anything but the Christ. They'll read anything or see anything but the Bible. God's holy word. So listen, when you're under attack, when the Bible is under attack, when Jesus is under attack, does the Bible fold up and blow away? No. Does Jesus run away? No. Does the church implode? No. When God the Holy Spirit is at work, there is a resiliency that comes up against the forces of darkness and the forces of evil. And this is what we see happening here. Now, it came to pass in those days. You can answer it in your Bible margin off to the side, in the days of opposition. Whenever we're opposed, we don't have to be afraid of that. We can just know that God knows how to handle that. And by the way, while we're at that, I would think that in the days that you and I live in personally, this is my conviction. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. I see more and more opposition to what you and I believe than ever before in my lifetime. You guys, I grew up in Orange County where it was very cool to be a Christian. I got saved in the 70s. It was very cool to be saved. Everybody wore Jesus shirts, and there was, remember KYMS radio, 106.3 KYMS? It was the Christian radio station. Everybody had Christian cars with Christian stickers and Christian skateboards and Christian, everything was Christian. And if you went to church, you were cool. And that's gone. Those days are gone. But that's not the only thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about now, if you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to get it. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. You are one of those people. And you believe this silly old book. And what's wrong with you anyway? And you're going to come against a world of opposition. And I don't want to bum you out so early in the morning, but I think we're going to get more opposition before the Lord ever returns. It's going to get tougher, harder. It's going to be more difficult to be a Christian. Personally, I welcome that. Here's the reason why. There are a lot of people that kind of just traffic around church because it's a social thing. When we start to get attacked for our faith, when people begin to speak all manner of evil against us, for Jesus' sake, the church is going to become more purified as persecution comes. I'm going to say something that you might find surprising, but it is true. Don't think for a moment that Satan gets up in the morning and rubs his little claws together and says, oh boy, I gotta start some persecution today. I think if you look at history, Satan's not stupid. Every time there's an outbreak of persecution against God's people, does anybody know what happens to the church when persecution comes? Anybody? It grows wider and it grows deeper, mainly deeper. It grows in depth. Satan doesn't wake up and say, man, I got to persecute the church, because history shows that that purifies the church and it makes it more attractive to a lost and lonely world. If you're going to live for Christ, people are going to despise you. They don't even understand what you believe and they don't want to hear it. You're just different and you represent God and you know the name Jesus. People have a hard time with that. So there's going to be opposition. The reason why I bring that up is because Jesus now is praying to his Father in heaven, and he's going to be listening to his Father's voice, and his Father's going to speak to him 12 names. And this is in the sovereign will of God, the Father above. By the way, Jesus prayed. He always prayed. In Luke 5:16, the Bible said that Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. If Jesus prayed, are you with me, everybody? If Jesus, the Son of God, come from heaven to earth, the eternal God in human skin, Jesus Christ, the Son. If he thought it was important to pray all the time, then shouldn't I pray all the time? Shouldn't you and I be praying? I think the reason why we don't pray enough is because we're not thinking in that realm enough. If Jesus was God in flesh on earth, then how much more me, a mere human, I need to be in prayer talking to my Father? Is this not the example that Jesus has set for us, is to pray? And to pray again. I believe it's the most single most important thing I can tell you today in being a Christian is that you learn to pray and listen to God's voice. It is hard to do. We've got our iPods in our ears blasting, or we've got the radio on, or there's some glitz or spotlight or something going on that will distract us. We need to listen. We need to learn to listen. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a very hard thing to do. You know how hard? I'm just talking to the guys. Now, if you attended yesterday's marriage seminar, you probably got the right answer down now. But one of the things that was discussed was this thing of communication. Guys, I'm just talking to the guys. Isn't it hard for us to listen? We try. I mean, we look at our wives and we're going, what are we doing? We're trying to listen. It's just hard. We're more visually understanding things. We've got to see that thing. Show me how you do that. Oh, I got it. But honey, I want to tell you about this, and I want to show you how my day went. And we're like, we really want to. It's just hard. Take that times 10 when it comes to listening to God's voice. Okay, here I am, Lord. I'm listening to your voice. Turned everything off. I'm sitting. Okay, Lord, I'm here. All right. Okay, go. I'm right here. Anytime now, God. It's not like that. It is a real relationship. He's real. He speaks. Some people might say, well, I've never heard God speak. Well, you know what? You have. You just didn't recognize it. Have you ever done something wrong? Oh, you've heard him speak. Pastor Jack, I don't think God's speaking to me. You do something wrong, you'll hear him speak. He's faithful for that. But you know what? He's a little bit more patient when it comes to us getting alone with him and learning to hear his voice. Jesus shows us how. And I want to know if you're willing to do this. It says right here in Scripture, that, and note it with me, that he went, verse 12, he went up to the mountain to pray and continued how long? All night in prayer to God. All night. All night. I got to tell you, at the first of this year, we got the pastors together and we didn't eat for at least 24 hours and we didn't sleep for 24 hours. We stayed up and we didn't eat. We stayed together and we prayed all through the sanctuary. We prayed, we sat in seats, we sat in all the sections and prayed for all of you who attend these sections. We prayed throughout the courtyard. We walked around the property. Then we prayed in front of our police stations, our fire stations. We drove around to all of our schools, prayed in front of our schools. We drove around to areas and prayed. You know, you can do a lot of praying in 24 hours without sleep. And you know what the beautiful thing about it was? When we got done, we were not only excited because we never once ran out of things to pray about. That was an awesome thing because none of us guys went, It was just happening. God was in it. And by the end of our time together, it was extremely rewarding. It's awesome. Why? Because you could feel the connect with God. Now, Pastor, do I have to stay up all night to do that? No, but if you're coming up on some big, serious decisions, it ain't a bad idea to seek after God with all your heart. It may be an hour or it may be a day. It's a wonderful thing. God will reveal himself to you if you will choose or decide or determine to seek after him with all of your heart. You and I get into a lot of unnecessary trouble because we fail to seek after God. Jesus is going to show us a great example. And he prayed all night. Now you are going to be amazed. Get your pen ready. Get it ready. This is amazing. I'm so happy to tell you this. This is very cool. In the Greek construction of this verse, this is what it says. That Jesus prayed all night in prayer. Are you ready for this? Here's the word. Because the word means he didn't want to waste one moment or one bit of effort. What? He prayed all night so he wouldn't waste any time? Yes, that's what the word means. You mean he prayed all night so he wouldn't waste any effort? Yes, that's what he did. When Jesus prayed, even though it took you and I in our thinking all night long, Jesus said, my, I have got to make such an important decision about who these disciples, who these apostles will be. I'm going to seek my Father. Church, are you listening? I'm going to seek my Father. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get his mind, his heart on the matter. I'm going to get his decision. And that's what I'm going to do. And Jesus prayed all night long. And you see, Jesus calls you to follow him only if the Father has spoken your name to Christ. And that is what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, no man can come to me unless the Father in heaven, what? Draws him to me. Isn't that interesting?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called People God Can Use Part 1. You know, this message, People God Can Use Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage all of you to go on a journey with us. We do it every year. And that's going through the one-year Bible together. Here's the reason why. It literally, spiritually, knits us together like no other. Going through the one-year Bible will cause us to be a family in the Word of God and be knit together by the power of God's Word. And know this, that when you read one chapter of a Bible verse for the day, there's tens of thousands of people reading right along with you all around the world.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.